Do you reckon we should talk over each other for a three speech first?
You'll be sitting next to a guy who's going to go and penetrate and sodomize another guy tonight. And you're gonna expect Allah to give you victory because you're standing next to a guy who's going to literally insert his genitals into another man's back passage.
And welcome back to yet another episode of the Free Speech Podcast. I'm the Mad Lad of Jihad. Today we've got joining us Jussie P, Mr. Hate Speech himself, and all the way from Hong Kong, it's Ollie Cornhole. Horn, I think.
Horn Cole.
What did you
Horn.
Say?
I was trying to make fun of it. I was trying to do a Justin joke and say you're fat.
You should do a joke about, like, if Ollie Horn goes to Hong Kong and plays ping pong, and
with a ding dong.
Yeah. How fat is he?
With a huge dong.
Anyway, listen, today we've got a lot to get through. Neuralink, Kate Middleton, Don Lemon wants Twitter to be Don Lemon wants to be censored Twitter. Jeremy Vine wants Twitter to be cancelled like Chinese state censorship. I don't know what else we've got. We've got other stuff. What else have we got? Anyone?
Lives. Hang on, you long neck.
Yeah. Oh, Leo's been getting abuse online, and they've said he's got a really long neck. That was funny. That's Ollie. There he
Ollie,
is.
Have you lost me?
That's a normal size neck. That's me. That's a neck. That's Leo. Look how long that neck is. That's a very
I'm
long
tall.
Neck. Tall.
I'd look weird with a stupid little thumb neck like one of you, little goblins.
I don't know how you
get it. Well, we didn't say you had a long neck.
You remember that guy from 90 Day Fiancé that had literally no neck?
He's actually missing 4 vertebrae, I believe. He's missing 4. There's some sort of condition where you're missing vertebrae in your neck. And this is superb. This is superb direction.
Why am I? I don't want my face associated with this podcast.
I've forgotten
how to
make all the cameras come up. I've realized how to swap, but I don't know how to show all cameras. I don't know what's happened. How do I sell it?
Right. Do you want me to run through the list of what we're talking about, or what you sent or not?
Yeah.
There's something that's not on the list that is very much in the wheelhouse of this podcast, which is mutual friend of, I know he's Darius's friend, I'm not sure, Leo, if you know him, Amos Gill. He got in some hot water at the Adelaide Fringe that I've just finished. The Adelaide Fringe is the second biggest fringe festival in the world. Basically, the advertiser
by volume of shows.
Yeah, I think it is. I think probably also by turnover. I mean, they sold 1 million tickets. It's a pretty big event.
I think you make more money at other fringes.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
It's not like Edinburgh. It's got so big. It's like nobody can get anybody in.
No, I think you're right. And I mean, certainly, I made more money in Perth.
How much money do you make?
I'm trying to figure out how to get everyone back on the screen.
This is how bad that was. I was listening to Ollie talk to Leo, watching you trying to work something out, and I was about to say, "Why is it on you?" And then it was on me. It was the camera then cut to me, wondering why it was on you. While I'm listening to two different people talk. No, Ollie's doing it.
Why is it back on me?
Ollie, tell us the thing about Amos Gill, because Amos is a cool guy.
Amos is a genuinely good comedian.
Okay, wait a minute. I think this is Ollie. Wait, this is Ollie.
That's me.
Why is there so many pictures of me? That's Ollie. So Ollie's number 4.
Right. For goodness sake. Are you going to put this out? Is this actually going to be the live episode?
Yeah.
We're going to have to.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
So Amos,
are you
Amos
all better?
There's 2 Darius and a blank.
Yeah, leave it like this. That's good.
Oh, she's so bad.
So yeah, Ollie, Amos...
And they're not even same angle of Darius. How have you got 2 camera angles?
Because one's my...
You know, there's going to be people. You know, a lot of people don't even watch the video.
If you're not
going to be thrilled for this constant narrative about something they can't even see.
Hopefully they... You know that thing on podcast players?
Fever dream.
30 seconds ahead. They've already clicked that 30 seconds ahead button once. This is now the second time. I encourage you to do it one more time. And maybe in 90 seconds from now, content will resume. So basically, Amos Gill is a really good comedian. He's Jim Jefferies' opening act on his last tour. Darius and I saw his show last year. And Darius went up to Amos and said, I absolutely hate stand-up and I resent watching other comics, but I actually enjoyed your show. So the most glowing praise that Darius can give to any comic.
And that's
basically
true.
The Adelaide Advertiser, which is where the Murdoch Empire started, one of their journalists, and I'm putting the word journalist in inverted commas, just like they put the word comedian in inverted commas, wrote a piece basically saying they're not going to see any pale, male, stale comedians at the festival. And she's made it her mission to not see any straight white men, which is a shame because that's basically what a lot of... What are
so
you
did
doing?
Did she like your show? Did she like your show, Ollie?
What, because I'm a homosexual?
Yeah.
She didn't see my show. In fact, only two reviewers saw my show. One gave it 5 stars. One gave it 2 stars with the line, who is this show for? They didn't get it. So anyway, Amos responded to this journalist, but basically saying that I don't think she's a real journalist and, you know, she's entitled to her opinion. But I think that she's got no journalistic credibility.
I read the piece and I've been out in Adelaide, performed at the Adelaide Festival, and the Adelaide Advertiser, I mean, it's like, you know, the sort of standard of a local paper. I guess it is a local paper, even though Adelaide
is a local paper. Like
it's a local paper, and the standard of the journalism is just fucking dreadful. It's like sub blog level. And that I read that piece and it was just like some high school blog. Some lassie had like decided some, you know, feminist lassie.
100%. The arguments that she was making in that article weren't very sophisticated. And it did seem like, I mean, what I understand their model is a sensational title, which generates comments on Instagram. If you're watching this on YouTube, I genuinely don't understand why you're still watching.
It's really good. Play
Guess Who on acid. And everything's moving
This looks like the start of like a Queen music video.
Darius, why did you fuck like, it? Why did you
one
fuck
head
it?
Goes into...
It was fine.
You had it.
Four of
yeah,
us
it
on
was.
The screen. Now you fucked it.
It's not. You're talking all on together.
Leo and I were trying to talk about the first
Amos
story. It's you again.
I just had it.
Put it back to when it was four people.
I'll do it. Okay. We're back.
Six people.
Right, I can do it now.
How,
I know
how
I'm doing.
I wouldn't even know how to get two camera feeds into one. You're doing something that's harder than baseline.
You're switching it like every 30 seconds.
I'm not going to press it again. I'm not pressing the button again. I messed up.
So why is there a big black box?
Because for some reason it thinks there's a camera there. And now it should be gone. Okay, now it's gone.
There we
this
go.
Is oh. it. There you go.
Don't press it.
I'm not pressing right. anything.
Should we start again?
No, we can't start again because I've got to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. Go on, Ollie. It's a long answer, but carry on.
Well, to cut to the chase, Amos, I think the reason
don't
why Amos is a good
cut
comic
cut to the
is...
chase because he'll literally cut to a live feed of the Chase TV show.
My finger's over the button, baby.
I think what's good about Amos shows is you don't actually know where he stands politically. You know, you could be right wing and come out thinking that he's left wing. You could be left wing and come out thinking he's right wing.
I think the good thing about his shows is he's funny.
But that's the point, right?
I didn't go to Oxford.
All right. I did.
Uh-huh.
You didn't pick up on the first point against you, though, did you?
Oh, for God's sake. So the reason why this is newsworthy is Amos responds to her blog, basically saying, I think this is terrible. And then she finds an online review from someone that's unhappy about one of Amos's performances at one of Dan Willis's shows, which are room above a pub. So Amos is doing a show in a 400-seat venue, right? And he's got a big room of people laughing and getting him. Amos has promoted the show by doing spots at Best of British and all the ones which, you know, you guys all know. And apparently there was a very low, I wasn't there, very low numbers there. And Amos did a routine about boomers, right? And he pointed to an audience member who looked old and said...
By boomers, you mean people like born in the 50s and 60s. You don't mean Islamic terrorists.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
They're called jihadis.
Allah.
So,
Allah.
So I feel like you might be making this harder than it needs to be. So,
slap.
Amos. Amos does a 10-minute set where he points to an old person and says, "You being old has triggered me," and then just does, you know, a bunch of material about house prices or whatever. That's not the point. The journalist then contacts him saying, "Someone's complained about your set. Do you have a comment?" And he gave kind of a joke response, which is apparently you gave a 10-minute tirade, and he responded by going, "Well, it was actually 7 minutes. And by the way, if you're going to use my name for clicks, please include a ticket link," right? So he gave the right response, which is respond with a joke. The headline that the advertiser used, which was this same journalist that wrote this original piece, was "Domestic abuse victim is targeted by comedian." And it's just like, at no point was it, you know, at no point did he talk about domestic abuse. At no point could he have known that she was a domestic abuse survivor. And
well, they're in Australia. I think by the laws of averages in Australia, most of the women.
Laws of everywhere, surely.
goodness sake. But the point is that context wasn't given to Amos. And so obviously the framing is Amos gives a tirade of abuse at domestic abuse survivor is a libelous thing to print. And so Amos, who had gone to law school and who's got friends such as me, who's able to give terrible legal advice, but also actually qualified friends, including King's Counsel, gave the advertiser both barrels. Now, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this.
It's defamatory, because, I mean, you've got the defense of truth there.
Yes, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but isn't it reasonable to assume that he would have known that? Is that the...
Exactly. Exactly. So does the average person reading this think that there was some nexus between his... you know, basically, did he abuse her on the basis that she was a domestic abuse victim? Was his rant about domestic
knowledge.
Abuse? Exactly. And from the headline and the framing, you definitely could have taken that. Now, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this, but basically, there was some back and forth with the advertiser's legal department, and their defense amounted to them screenshotting comments from their Instagram and Facebook page of people saying, "I've read the article. Nowhere does it actually say that he knew that she was a domestic abuse victim. This is classic gutter journalism. This journalist has no clue what she's doing." Like, just basically, their legal defense was, "We're the gutter press. No one believes us anyway."
Your
Honor, I'm not a credible witness.
But can I say
that's
devil's
exactly
advocate?
What it is.
Isn't that most comedians' defense? It's just a joke.
I mean, basically, but like their defense literally is, "No one believes us anyway. Look at all the comments. Our own journalist has been discredited by our own readership. Classic Amos Gill punching down again. We're literally in the gutter. And you're some impressive comedian." And so, in the end, he managed to get the article retracted. But I do think it's interesting that this is obviously some very junior journalist that was writing these opinion pieces. By the time anyone senior in Murdoch found out about this, they obviously just went nuclear and just, you know, obliterated the story. But I think it's interesting that, you know, she got very little traction for her opinion piece. And there are lots of people in support of Amos, which I think was a very good thing.
Well, you know why? Because everyone now knows that anytime a journalist, especially, you know, when it comes to comedy or the arts, says something like, "Oh, this is offensive or shit," unless they're talking about someone like Roy Chubby Brown or flipping, you know, Amos Gill, who is offensive, or someone who's, they know it's just lies. No one's believing what the press are saying anymore. Anything they say now, no one believes a word of it. Everyone double checks, and they can tell that there's like the way the nuance, the way it's written, is coming from, like, it's not coming from a fair, balanced perspective. And to be honest, the fact that they're still pushing this narrative, it's like they're on the dying embers of this type of journalism.
Yeah. And I think, man, if you look at the amount of, it looks like woke comedy is sort of going down the toilet. Like, they spent 100%. So much time and energy and money pushing it, and now all the things like Just Four Laughs in Canada, that's gone bust. Vault has gone bust. 21 Soho has gone bust. And these are all, you know, the things that were all like, "Oh, we're staging, you know, black femme queers of color and all this sort of shit." And everybody's realized, you know, just funny's funny. Like you do, I'm sure you do. I'm sure eventually there will be like a black femme queer who is funny. But, you know, at the moment, we're better off, you know.
Well, actually, but Leo, like you know as well as everyone that there are loads of black acts, there are loads of queer acts, there are loads of femme acts performing really good comedy at places like Top Secret.
And also, Top Secret doesn't make it. There's loads of really great queer acts performing on Netflix. So let's all watch this clip from the Hannah Gadsby Gender Agenda. Now we'll all watch this impartially. I'm going to pause it after about every 10 seconds so we don't get the inevitable copyright strike, which we will get anyway. But let's just watch this classic Netflix. Put this out. Now this is that you know, the creme de la creme of non-gender conforming comedy. So here we go.
And now that I've got male privilege, because I get access to the greatest term of endearment in the English language. Cis femme ladies in the room, I'm so sorry, you're never going to get to experience this. The greatest term of endearment in the English language is this one. You walk into the fried chicken shop, the vendor says to you, "What can I get for you, boss man?"
Thing is, Chloe Pettis is actually a really, really good act.
Thing is, I've heard that like, joke before, haven't you, Justin?
I know, that does sound like Justin.
8,000 times.
By a more convincingly femme act.
hang on a minute. Ask that though. Can I just pull her up on something there? She says, hang on, isn't this transphobic? She said, and I'm sorry, cis femme women, you're never going to know this. Why do you have to be... What about...
Don't you say that as part of your joke? What? How do you do?
Hang
your
on, I'm trying to work
joke?
Out. Is that not exclusive? Is that not excluding people? You have to
cis femme. You're allowed to exclude cis femme people, I think, because they're normal.
You're allowed to exclude cis everyone, aren't you?
Cis
but
femme
isn't
people
the joke that the more male passing you are, the more respect you get in a chicken shop?
I don't know, Justin. What did you mean when you wrote that joke? Let's continue with this comedy gold.
Okay. No wonder you boys are fucking confident. I walk out of there feeling like the CEO of my own goddamn life.
So, technically, you are the CEO of your goddamn life.
Yeah, everyone just, is, right?
Justin, to be fair, like, you know, your joke originally, she's added a lot of, toppers.
I just want to stop you. They've added a lot of toppers.
I mean, they slash...
Oh, shit, Leo. Oh, dear.
Yeah,
I've got a topper. I've got a topper to that.
Hold on.
Sometimes I go into the chicken shop. They go, "What can I get for you, boss man?" I go, "Nothing. I'm a vegetarian. You've given me everything I need. Thank you." I am a vegetarian. Do you have any in?
Wait. This, we're just about to get... This is now... Like, listen, there's levels to comedy. Everyone listening to this podcast must understand that there are levels to this game. Sometimes you witness, like, you often see in comedy, you see, you know, repetition hat, but sometimes you just see something truly innovative, truly unique.
One of those where you go, why didn't I think of that?
And what you're about to witness now is one of the most unique bits of stand-up that anyone could possibly hope, like, you won't see this. This is, I don't know, it blew my mind when I saw this. So we're just, I'll let the footage roll.
No, very proud one at the front. Any vegans? Okay, that's lovely. There's probably more, they're just too weak to cheer.
Are there any vegans? There's probably more, but they're too weak to cheer. That is,
Darius, it sounds like, I know you're mocking this joke, but it sounds like you don't understand it. See, the thing is that vegans, there's this perception that vegans don't get enough protein in their diet, especially bioavailable protein and B vitamins. So they don't have the muscular strength to perform certain tasks as well as a meat eater would. So that's what the joke is based on.
I've got a topic for her on that one.
She's saying that if there were vegans, they wouldn't have the strength to cheer. So that's why there's less.
I would add to
cheering
that.
Than you can hear.
Oh, we'd already know because they always tell you. That's another one she could have gone with. Of course,
that's great.
Yeah, because
you should be a writer.
You should. You should say, like, say to her, do you want any more bits of my material?
actually think she... do you think this was parallel thinking?
I've got a lawyer.
Well, obviously it wasn't parallel parking because she's femme.
Right, that's... You get it? That's no, a misogynistic yeah. joke.
I've got another good joke. Listen, I've got another good joke for Netflix. Like, if I... when I do my Netflix special, I'm going to open and go, yeah, are there any... Single people in the crowd, and they're they're gonna cheer, and then I'm gonna go, are there any
married people,
and they're gonna obviously be depressed because they're married. Will single people sound much happier? What do you think of my new joke?
I've written a joke for Ollie. When you go on stage, Ollie, you should move the mic stand and say, I'm just gonna move that out of the way so you can see me.
What?
I've got an idea. When I get a Netflix special, I'm going to ask the audience who's drinking and get them to cheer.
Mm. I've got...
Can I just say, going back to that point, what Leo said about all these places going bust, right? And
I just need to get my laptop charger continue without me.
What does it... Well, basically, no one is earned or no one's entitled to being a success at anything. If you... All you can do, really, isn't it, is remove barriers to people. So if you say there's no barrier to minorities starting stand-up, that's one thing, isn't it? It's that old equality of opportunity versus equality of outcome.
Yeah,
opportunity. So what they're doing is when they're... Because it's a market forces, you have to sell tickets. So these uber-woke places, that their heart might be in the right place, they're just very heavy-handed. Actually, it's a very cynical market employ, isn't it, to go, oh... This is the space
where I've returned. Are you all pretending to
be the only box tick? Then people aren't going to keep paying to not enjoy themselves. What's happened?
Why have you paused? I think it's because the laptop was dying. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Are we back? I'll cut this bit.
Hello?
It's dead. Why has it gone? Why has it died?
Cut all of it. This...
If you cut all the bits with bad production, there might not be an episode.
It's like someone on their first day in the IT department.
I did forgot to plug my laptop in, so now it's gone mad.
Or your 15-minute thing about fucking Amos.
What are we talking about?
This is astonishing.
Why is it frozen?
God's sake.
Is it working now? What's going on? I was away for 1 second.
No! Like a flicker book.
Why is it not working?
Yeah, blame one of us.
Shall I pause it and start again?
I can still hear everyone. It's just the...
Can you see?
The video is lagging a bit. No.
Well, it should be. I haven't touched anything to do with the internet. All I've done is plug my laptop in. It was on 2%. It's now on 5%. Maybe it was just critically low. Someone's listening to this. Keep on talking. Hello? Everyone died. If you're listening to this audio...
Basically, my point with comedy
is... Why did you...
I didn't do nothing.
This is such a bad episode. I'm not. How have the episodes been?
I thought were good at this stuff.
Listen to the past 6 weeks. How have the episodes been?
We didn't do one for the last 2 weeks. I couldn't figure it out.
They haven't.
They have. The last 2 weeks haven't been out.
But you still haven't. But you've gone with it anyway.
It's the internet. I don't know if it's the internet or what. It's just doing my head in. Honestly,
this is figured out.
Right, I'm gonna hang you all up and bring.
Are you
back
on your M2 Mac?
I'm on the M2 Mac, but I think it's because it went down to 6%.
This is a joke. But why did you let that happen? When you saw it wasn't powered up, what possessed you to think it was going to last?
Well, it had 34%. I thought it had a good battery.
I went downstairs.
Have your laptop plugged in because you're at home.
My plug to bring it up. Yeah,
I didn't buy that laptop.
My charger, because it might go flat.
This is all recording.
It's been a year since I bought that.
Yeah. How is it? Are you in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Basically, well, when it comes to comedy, right?
Well, yeah, if there's any listeners in Hong Kong, actually, if there's any listeners at all, my show's Saturday. Is this going out by Saturday? 20 tickets.
Yeah, it's going out
at least to sell.
You know what?
Oh, cool. If you're in Hong Kong, come watch me.
I've got a new crush. Who wants to see my new crush?
Okay.
Anyone? Me.
Look how fit she is. I think she'll find she's pretty fit.
Is it that geezer in the... Oh, yeah, she's hot.
No, that's a woman.
That is, yeah, I know. That's my crush. I'm saying she's fit.
Oh, God.
So look at the pronoun.
Ollie, have you seen this? Have you seen this beguiling beauty?
Oh, Ollie's doing a theatrical anti-trans yawn.
Ollie, do you know?
It's gone.
Not
midnight.
This again. Yeah. Oh, I'm so enlightened. Yeah,
but do you not think this is just one mad person that's trying to make a point?
Yeah, it is, but they're facilitating it.
There's a lot of one mad persons.
Do you not think so do you know that story? Do you know this story, Ollie?
Yeah, yeah, because you shared it. I did read about it. I do think it's been absolutely atrociously handled by this gym. No question.
Why?
No, but isn't the real issue the fact that we've got these rules in society, literally enshrined into legislation in some places, that mean that, you know, if somebody says that they're a woman and they should get access to all the same spaces that women get access to, whether that's, you know, the changing rooms alongside, you know, so they're getting their cock out in front of a 12-year-old girl like this case, or whether that's whatever else.
He's tweeting. Yeah.
Can I tell you a personal anecdote? It's not quite the same, but this is the problem. So I was a member of a gym around the corner, and I got a stepson. And in school holidays, this gym had a swimming pool. And I used to take the stepson, get him changed, in the male changing room, right? Now, there was a geezer in there that I never saw him. I was a member of the gym all year round. And I never saw him in there when it weren't school holidays. And he was in there fully naked, cock and bollocks, and he was fully shaved. I mean, proper shaved up. And a bit too, just like, I don't know, trying to catch people's eyes. And I never did anything because that you can't. That's technically, he hasn't. But there was young girls in there with their dads as well. Do you know what I mean? So this is the thing. Even when there is like laws, like, you know, this is the male changing room. And obviously there was a sign up that said you can take under 5 girls in there. It's like people will always take the piss. This bloke weren't technically breaking the law, but he was absolutely taking the fucking piss. I know what he was up to, right? And I felt like chinning him. So then when you sort of like extend that and go, well, you could actually now go in the girls' changing room. People like that will. People are always going to take the fucking piss. And if it means that there is a percentage of the population that don't get to live their truth as much as they want to, but it protects anyone. It's just, that's why we fucking have these laws. You know, I don't want them to have a bad life. I just want the people to, I want that 12-year-old girl to not have a bad experience. It's not them. It's not coming from a place of mean spirit. That's what I don't understand about this issue. Well, when people,
yeah, and all the legislation, all these rules, it's sort of, it's for politeness. It's legislating for politeness. It's like, oh, you should let this person, you know, use these spaces, you should refer to them with the pronouns that they prefer. But if we're legislating for feelings, what about the feelings of the 12-year-old girl who, you know, was reportedly absolutely terrified and, you know, very concerned? And, you know, obviously there's an actual risk. There's a safeguarding issue there as well. Why are we elevating this sort of the feelings and desires and fetishes of grown men above the safety of 12-year-old girls?
Because they're straight white men.
And also shaving. I mean, people just shave at the gym anyway. I'm like, well, that's
exactly what my point is. This, if
I'm
I
with Justin on this, that is the most egregious thing.
Well, if I was trans,
basic
right,
decency.
If I were trans, I would be like, what the you fuck are you? Well, exactly. So I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you a so-called trans woman using the women's facilities and then shaving? But here's the thing.
Because shaving is an overtly masculine thing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like, I'm a woman. All right. Well, how many fucking women do you think turn up at the gym and have a fucking shave? Yeah. All right, let me get the Gillette out. No women are doing that in the mirror, right? All you're doing is ruining it for other trans women who just want to live on, you know, a discreet life, go about, use the facilities they're comfortable with, go into the change room, go into like their
shouldn't
little cubicle.
Shouldn't you be shaving in the shower?
The point is, though, that there's these people like that are ruining it for actual trans women who just want to go use a cubicle.
Not even going in there. Not even going in there and assimilating in some respect and acting feminine. It's like doing a very overtly mass. It's a power move and it's rubbing people's face. I'm going to go in and shave my fucking beard.
Has it been established then that this person was trying to prove a point? They're not actually living as a woman.
No.
This is a trans woman who's using Planet Fitness and getting dressed is having a shave.
That's my question. Do they present as a trans woman outside of going to the gym, or did they just present as a trans woman?
Well, they would argue it doesn't matter, Ollie, wouldn't they? They would say that's got nothing to do with it. It's just how you feel.
I think it probably does, doesn't it?
Well, according to Planet Fitness,
bigot.
According to Planet Fitness, they do, because they banned the woman who complained about it. So
yeah,
shouldn't be taking pictures of people in the changing room. There is rules against that. You can't take pictures in the changing room. But that's.
But I think if a crime's being committed, that's a sort of. You're allowed to if you're
yeah maybe then I don't know but that,
Ollie, I definitely agree with the children safe say that again Darius,
what's your legal perspective on this? Was that lady allowed to
don't fucking ask him that?
Why not?
Because it'll be 12 minutes of fuck. I don't go sorry already go on
Well, I actually don't know about the photograph thing. I think it's a good question. But I mean, you're allowed CCTV in public areas of changing rooms. Like that area of the changing room is not necessarily where people get naked, is it? That's like the sink area, right? It's not like the showers or the cubicles. So it's probably fair game.
What about if he started shaving his female cock and bollocks in there?
Well, that would definitely be.
But the thing is, you wouldn't accept. We wouldn't accept this behavior in a men's changing room. If a guy had his leg over the sink and started shaving his ball sack, you'd probably say
you'd be jealous.
Bruce, can I help?
The only thing you do over a sink is eat fucking Kit Kat.
Crisps.
Yeah. Chris. You made me doubt myself then.
This might have hit a whole new nadir. We might have hit a whole new nadir this week. Of loneliness. Apparently you might be doing a
nadir of loneliness.
Does that what nadir means? Wait, what does nadir mean?
It's like the opposite of zenith, I think.
Nadir, yeah. the lowest or most unsuccessful point in a situation. Yeah, got it right. We've reached a whole new limit.
It's zenith, isn't it? Zenith, nadir. It's like extreme peaks and troughs.
I got it bang on. You lot started making me question myself.
I didn't.
Whatever. What else? Well, I think we've solved that issue.
Jesus Christ.
Why is everyone so depressed? I'm depressed. I'll tell you why I'm depressed. I'm depressed.
Because we're 40 minutes into this. We've barely covered two stories.
We're 33 minutes into this, and we've covered two interesting stories. One about Amos Gill being slandered by some open mic journalist, and two, a dude shaving in the women's toilets, ruining it for trans women. This is a pro-trans podcast, and we're actually supportive of them, and we're saying, listen, maybe tell your members, real women who you claim to be, do not shave in the mirror at the gym. In fact, they usually don't shave.
I think there's a change. I can just feel there's a change coming. You know, people were all like, you know, oh yeah, no, we need to do a list because we need to be inclusive and we need to worry about people's feelings. And now, like, this sort of feelings based approach to things is now kind of people are questioning and being like. And I think, you know, stuff like this is almost like the Millie Dowler moment when, you know, like for years, the tabloids were phone hacking and everybody knew about it. Nobody really did anything about it. People thought it was bad. Nothing happened till they hacked Millie Dowler's phone. Mm. She was like a kid who was killed or something. And that became a huge shut.
Yeah,
shut up.
They listened
that
to became voice a huge, and deleted
shut,
them.
Shut your fucking face. He's talking.
I'm helping.
He doesn't want your help.
Imagine
I was giving a sink.
Context.
What would I want your help with?
Eating.
To give some context as to why the Millie Dowler case was so egregious.
Help me bankrupt this buffet. Is that
right? Listen.
Look.
This is how podcasts work. Someone speaks, they pause, and they let the other person speak. Leo is making a point. You thought that
and now
he's
Leo's
got
sad.
Yeah, now you've upset Leo. I'm already upset. because this is a
Nadir. From now on, I'm only going to talk.
You're, I haven't finished, you fucking idiot.
Don't swear. You're swearing again. You're being a potty mouth.
I tell you what. People are changing. What's funny is watching the left change in real time. Swedish politicians apologizes for refugees' welcome. We were fundamentally wrong on the immigration issue. The point is, I think at least from my kind of perspective, right? With all of this, whenever we started this podcast, when we started talking about all this stuff, it was, oh, you're fucking wrong. It's like, look, I support immigration, right? But I don't support massively open borders. Like, we should vet who comes in, make sure we get the best of the best, and we help the people who really need the help. I support trans people. I don't support them men going in and shaving in fucking mirror in the women's changing rooms because I know it will hurt other trans women. I know that. I support that, but I don't support like gender ID where Leo can just say, I'm a woman today, and we all have to, oh, yes, you are. And people have called in this out. Yeah, I believe in you. But the point is,
you know.
Anyway, go on.
I was going to say, you know, when they sort of like get an ex-burglar to come in and shore up security or an ex-hacker to come in, do you think because you're like a troll, sort of like got troll characteristics, you spotted these loopholes that could be exploited before other people did? And I think that's kind of what it is. You look at these rules, you go, well, hang on a minute. You sort of go, yeah, but that down the line could be problematic. And they go, oh, why have you got to be like that? And it's like, now the chickens are coming home to roost. Like Leo saying, there's been so many of these instances where it's like, it's all well and good to open the floodgates, but someone's got to be worried about the village 10 miles downstream that's going to get fucking wiped out. And I think it was just that some people were sort of like going, yeah, I know this might hurt people's feelings now, but it could prevent these potential piss takes further down the line. And there's been so many of these potential piss takes now that I think that's why it's turning around. Now, some people can't see it until they've seen it. They can't sort of like imagine a future where it might, like I said, because I'm a bit of a sort of piss taker, if I can see a loophole, get away with something, I fucking will. So I sort of think I can spot that maybe. And some people are maybe a bit naive or innocent.
I heard what Justin just said. He said, I'm a degenerate pervert, so I can see when there's a loophole.
I didn't mean that. I meant like when I was in a call center, it was like, you had to like, if you got, when someone would, I'd try and sell something, they'd say no. I would mark that as a ring back. And every week I won a bottle of wine on a Friday for having the less nose. But I was just cheating. That's what I mean. There's a loophole.
What you're proving then, what you're proving is not necessarily you're proving that there's loopholes. You're proving that humans respond primarily to incentives. And you were incentivized to mark that as a ring back because you get a bottle of wine. And I think a lot of this is people looking to do good. I've got absolutely no doubt at all that the majority of this of these policies comes from people with good intentions, responding to incentives. Because if they introduce these policies, they get a slap on the back and, you know, they get promoted and all this kind of stuff.
I totally agree with you about the incentive thing, but then that's sort of contradictory to the sort of philanthropic argument. And I think, you know, if you look at the SNP bringing through the Hate Crime Act or in Canada, their incentive, they've got an incentive to bring it through. It's not to make Scotland a better place, it's to go after and silence and persecute their critics. Like, we're seeing left-wing governments around the world getting brought down by sort of online dissent and all the rest of it. Look, Leo Varadkar's just had to step down in Ireland. And the SNP, I mean, a classic example would be Marion Miller. So she's a gender-critical feminist. She tweeted a bunch of stuff. She tweeted like a picture of a suffragette ribbon that was accused of being, that was reported to the police as being a transphobic hate crime because it looked like a noose. And it didn't look like a noose. It looked like a suffragette ribbon. But because, you know, it's all perception and feeling and there doesn't need to be a victim, the police had to investigate. She was actually prosecuted. Like, they took her to court. It got all the way to court before it got thrown out.
On that note, Leo, I saw something on Twitter about someone who had an employment tribunal for saying at work that she liked J.K. Rowling. And because that was said in the same week that Rowling had said something that was presumably taken as transphobic, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a good example of maybe an overcorrection, right?
Was this in Scotland? Did they prosecute it under the hate monster? Is that what happened?
No, because that's just coming in on April 1st.
It wouldn't be under
public order acts and all this sort of stuff.
No, the hate...
This was like an HR tribunal.
The hate monster I'm talking about.
Oh, that's the public with the hate service campaign.
That's like litter bug, isn't it? It's pathetic.
Yeah, the new hate monster. That listen, I was going to be a racist, but then the hate monster said don't, and I went, okay, I won't.
I found out something in Australia this time. You know, Australian kids learn about consent in sex from a British informational video where drinking tea is an analogy for having sex.
No.
It's like, this is like a known reference. I'll see if we can find this video for next time. It starts off with a very simple analogy.
I'll pull it out.
Some people, if you offer them a cup of tea, they might want that cup of tea. But some people might not want that cup of tea, and that's fine. So it starts off with a pretty simple analogy. But the analogy gets more and more strained as the video goes on until it's like, some people don't want an electric kettle up their ass. If you put it up their ass, make sure to remove it as quick as you can if they say no.
Going back on that incentive before we move on. The trouble is, like you're saying, they've ESG scores? They've monetarily incentivized. So that's the problem. So now this is what I'm thinking about. It occurred to me. This is what the backlash actually is. ESG, and everyone should talk about the mythical pink pound. There's loads of money in the gay community because they don't have children, disposable, whatever reason. So then people like Bud Light caught these. Then there's a backlash against Bud Light. They lose loads of money. The incentive is changing. It used to be they were chasing these kind of like boxes to tick for financial incentive. And now I think really that's that Dylan Mulvaney thing is the big turning point where people have gone, oh, I don't want it to cost us money. I do believe, you know, they'll pretend to believe in whatever until it costs us money, like Planet Fitness now. Do you think if their shares plummet anymore, they're going to carry on going, no, this is our belief. They ain't got no beliefs. Everything's for sale. So they incentivize morality, ESG points and DEI. It's all incentivized.
But that is very interesting, though, isn't it? That there are some companies who do have some kind of moral compass in that company's DNA. And I think what things like this prove is it's really, really, really hard to fake that. So like a good example is like Timpsons, right? It's been a family business for generations. They've got like really progressive stuff on like the diversity of their workforce. They've got loads of ex-criminals. You know, people that wouldn't traditionally
be in employment.
Can you make this like a photo booth with Robin Williams? It's like, Abbott, you've made loads of keys.
and also trophies, best criminal. But Timpsons is a good example where like the company makes loads of money. Because it's genuinely part of their DNA. Yeah. The CEO lives and breathes this. He goes to prisons, meets reformed convicts, etc. Right? And I think what this shows is if you do just adopt the kind of social conscience du jour and you're very reactive as a company, that inauthenticity soon like exposes itself.
And also, it's very hard to sort of philanthropic or altruistic aims into some sort of legislation or regulatory framework like the ESG that Justin was talking about. It's so sort of perverted in a way. So you'd think Tesla would have a really good ESG score because they make the technologies and the cars and stuff that are going to save us from carbonification or whatever, you know, if you believe in that shit. And Imperial Tobacco would be a bad company because they make tobacco products that are marketed at children and kill people, like kill loads of people, and they've got a very unethical history. But in actual fact, Imperial Tobacco had a much better ESG rating than Tesla because they had all the sort of like workplace diversity. You know,
is this the UN thing?
Having days off for Ramadan. What?
It's George
is this
Soros.
The UN ESG?
No, the like is BlackRock and all the rest of it.
Soros, isn't it?
Oh, right.
So, like the investment companies. It just shows how, you know, we're like, oh, we're gonna make sure our money does good, and it's like you set up all these rules, and actually the rules can just elevate, you know, what's essentially a non-altruistic company.
Well, once you incentivize altruism, it ceases to be altruism, isn't it? Because there is altruism is like something getting nothing in return. That's by definition.
Yeah.
So once you sort of like attribute a return to it, you then make it impossible. Like it makes it disappeared.
We've never claimed to be altruistic. But I think this is what this whole podcast is that we just call out what we see as the hypocritical virtue signaling.
But that's really funny what Leo was just saying. I was just thinking, it's like with sort of like actual morals, they're trying to, it seems like society muddies and blurs the lines there. And then they're sort of like doing the exact opposite, like with Tesla and that. Now, the thing about Tesla is they don't like Elon Musk, right? But Elon Musk, Twitter has got, like you were saying about Timpson, something like X now, because Elon Musk has got fuck you money. He doesn't give a fuck. So he can't be swayed. So he's got, whether you agree with his ethics or not, that is genuinely a company run with an ethical sort of like overview that I don't think is.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think that's monetary
and he's probably personally intervening on a bunch of policy decisions. And, you know, I remember that.
But look, everyone hates him.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure that many people are glad that they don't work for Twitter anymore. But I bet
they're not. Now they've got no money.
Doing
an easy job. Well, follow me on my Twitter. Here I am.
I do think this Elon Musk point is a really good one, that he is running that company now with a conviction. Right. And whether you agree with that conviction or not,
exactly,
at least you can understand what his principles are. And probably, and this I think is the sign of a good boss, that most employees could probably guess what he thinks or what his decision would likely be about most problems that they encounter. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we like
him. And I think. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Twitter seems to not be dead like everyone said it would.
It made me laugh a couple of years ago. It was like, oh, boo-hoo, right-wing people, go fuck off and get on Getter. Do you remember Getter and all that? Yeah. And now it's like everyone's doing that now, but it's the other side. Because there was that thing where Don Lemon was going to have a chat show on there, and he interviewed Elon Musk, didn't he? And there's a few bits where I honestly think people are saying, I don't know if it's me, probably is me, but everyone just seems to, everyone misses the point, and I think you're so thick. Because there's one point where Don Lemon goes to me, goes, oh, what about you have to answer these questions? And he's going, well, I don't have to answer these questions. But people have misconstrued that as him saying to Don Lemon, I don't have to answer these questions. Like, I don't think he was spitting his dummy about that particular, he was saying, no, you're painting this hypothetical scenario, which isn't real. Don Lemon's like, oh, you have to answer to people that say this. He's going, I don't have to answer to this. And everyone's going, oh, look, he can't handle it when it's him getting sort of like his feet held to the fire.
That's because he got quoted out of context. But then I saw this week, Leo was in a feud about this because they quoted Donald Trump was quoted as saying there's going to be a bloodbath in the automotive industry. And then GB News quoted it or something, and they all turned on Leo.
And basically, this is the thing that we have in headliners all the time, because we're covering a story. So we read out the headline and, you know, then we discuss the story. Like, if you look at where we discuss the story, I mean, all right, we probably could have been more like, you know, we probably could have been more sort of pointed out that he's, I mean, I did mention the context he's talking about.
All right.
Dropped it into a car industry thing, but because on headliners we read out whatever the headline is in the Guardian or whatever, so like Donald Trump says there's going to be a bloodbath, and you know, then we discuss it. So, and then when the clip goes out and gets put on Twitter, most people don't watch the clip, they just like see this thing. It's like Donald Trump says there's going to be a bloodbath, and they're like, oh, GB News is saying that Donald Trump said they're going to be a bloodbath. It's like, well, no, the Guardian, we're discussing the story, but everybody on Twitter is so fucking dumb. And then, like, so some Welsh, like, literally a retard who does these videos for other retards. Like, you know, we're talking, like, man, like... It's,
when you
Abby
say
Robert,
literally, what do you mean? Like actually...
Like, sort of somewhere in intelligence between...
intelligence. I think that's what you mean.
Just say thick. Just say the thick.
He's not as thick as... As thick as Derek.
I'm cleverer than him.
Nah, you're a lot cleverer than this guy.
I'm the cleverest on this podcast. I said Nadir in context today. I literally said Nadir. And you,
I thought you were trying to say an Indian name.
Just show us your Google tabs to check that you've not Googled the word.
No, I have Googled
this guy. Post, this guy posts this video, and like people are commenting in the comments. And bear in mind, like, you know, so I'm hosting the show on GB News, so I've got like my my talkback earpiece, so I can, you know, talk to the people in the, you know, directors and stuff. And the comments are all like, he's got a wire going into his head, and like other people are like, yeah, he does. He's got a wire going into his head. Ah, you know, like, oh, they must be feeding me fucking like. Like stuff going into a Neuralink or something.
Hate. a direct hate feed into your right ear.
Well, the problem, they're like, oh, GB News is like, it's just mainstream media. You know what? GB News is mainstream media now. Like yesterday, it was the biggest news channel in the UK. It was bigger than the BBC. It was bigger. More people watching the BBC.
GB News was talked about on Marina Hyde and Richard Osman's podcast,
right.
The Rest of Entertainment.
I bet it wasn't talked about glowingly.
Do you know what? They were fairly balanced about it.
What were they saying?
Well, they said that they kind of said what I think GB News has probably said publicly, which is the strategy is get big brand awareness through social media clips and make them sensational. And like, I think one of the hardest things for a new channel is to get brand awareness, and GB News on the metric of brand awareness is really high, but that's not because people tune into the channel. It's because people that hate the channel share the clips. So like the majority of GB News is marketing.
I've been on Leo's show twice. Like, they never tell you anything in a good way. They don't go, oh, we're going to come on. This is a story. Can you have this angle? You could go in there and say anything. That's what it should be. All channels should be. Yeah. If you had all channels, if all the news channels that had people on were like that, there is no sort of like, and I don't think, actually, when I look at the lineups, it doesn't even seem that they particularly cherry pick people that have a certain agenda. They have all sorts of people. I'm certain all sorts of people get invited. But I just think if people go, it's just become that thing where people go, oh, GB News. Because do you know what? This is how fucking basic people are. It's because it's got GB in the title. And that means... That's all it is. Well, if it was called...
It's got a Union Jack.
There is
one legitimate criticism that they made of GB News, which is it's not actually a news channel. It doesn't have to follow Ofcom's news regulations.
That's,
it has to follow entertainment regulations.
That's what's good about it.
That's actually a complete... That's a far-left conspiracy theory. It is a news channel. It does have to follow... Ofcom's
but think what
guidelines.
That means.
Like, no, it doesn't. Only the news bulletins do. Headliners doesn't have to follow that. Yeah. All the variety shows don't have to.
But look at this joy. That's not fucking right. Then.
Only your news output needs to follow Ofcom.
One at a time.
Yeah, look, Ollie's saying it's not registered as a news channel. It's registered as a news channel with
I didn't
Ofcom.
Say it's not registered. I'm saying Ofcom's guidelines have to apply.
And so Ofcom's guidelines do it. That's why it just had five thingamies, you know, breaches that were a politician reading out something that's news. So because politicians aren't allowed to present news.
I watched BBC last night, and they had fucking EastEnders, and then after that, the news was on. They're different. Like, they have the news on there, didn't they? And then they have programmes on there.
But you weren't watching EastEnders on the BBC News channel.
How do you fucking know? How do you know what I do?
All right, yeah, fair enough.
You know everything, didn't you?
one thing I did also hear on this The Rest Is Entertainment podcast, talking about brand awareness, a third of the population don't know who Rishi Sunak is. Oh, hang on. No, that was Rest Is Politics. I heard that. Can you believe we're going in this year to a general election where you go to an average street and pick one in three people and you ask them who the prime minister is, and medically they haven't recovered from their stroke?
Yeah, but those people won't vote. And also, to be honest, the fewer people who know who Rishi Sunak is, the more chance the Tories have got to get more votes.
Is Rishi Sunak the one in the drain pipes?
I think Rishi Sunak is the one that Kate Middleton's having an affair with. That's what I heard.
Where is she, Ollie? You know where she is.
Oh yeah.
Well, what should we do? Should we do all of our favourite conspiracy theories about this?
Yeah, go on then. You start. Then Justin,
all right. My one is. The conspiracy theory that I read, which I, and full disclaimer, This is just the musings.
Spit it out! Fucking hell!
Yeah, why are you taking so long?
I heard... Oh, for fuck.
Yeah, but why are you taking so long? Just say what you're going to... 20-minute build-up.
I heard...
Well, he's never spat anything out.
I heard they're getting a divorce because he cheated on her and she's in hiding for that reason. It's nothing to do with the operation. That's what that was. That's the rumor.
It took you that long to say that.
Yeah. Well, the reason I think that is that's just, it's so royal family.
I've got a better conspiracy theory. I heard that she was having an affair with his mate who got killed, mysteriously killed himself a week or so, a month ago. And then for no reason, the press office for the Kensington Palace put out a tweet saying, Prince William won't be attending this event today, but it's nothing to do with that guy killing himself. Don't even think about that. So he got that guy whacked, and now she's in a mood about that.
Fucking
some of the crazier ones are, and to be honest, the palace haven't really done much to sort of allay anybody's concerns, because all you get is like a composite photoshopped image of like, you know, some AI generated thing, and then they're like, oh, sorry about that, and then like the next thing you get is some blurry picture of them at a garden center, and they don't look anything like Kate Middleton and Prince Harry, you know what I mean?
No, it's security like with them.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of in Neighbours when Lucy went away to Brisbane for like a month and she came back and she was played by a different actress.
And they did that with Bouncer.
That's a pretty niche reference.
Do you not think that
we haven't listened to Justin's conspiracy theory yet.
What's your conspiracy theory?
It's a conspiracy theory about conspiracy theories. The palace could easily quash this. They're letting it run. They're putting... There's no way... That was photoshopped so badly, deliberately. And then the next day, when everyone's talking about it, the news agency issue a kill note. So they get everyone chatting. They get everyone chatting 3 months now, and it'll be longer. Everyone chatting, come here. And then they're just going to go, she just had an abdominal operation. Ellie, for fuck's sake. They'll go, she just did have an operation. They go, all these conspiracy theorists, see what they're like. They were saying all this weird shit. They believe this in vaccines. They believe this about Epstein. It's all part of the fucking, this is the level up. This is about discrediting conspiracy theorists, and they're deliberately feeding it. Everything they've done has fed it. They're fanning the flames, and there's no way that's not deliberate.
Yeah, because this is the first conspiracy theory that, you know, sort of sensible
in real time
mainstream people are sort of have a real opinion on, are really
it's
getting
real
into.
Time.
I would
it's real
agree
time.
That this is part of genius PR strategy.
I don't
if
have
it
an opinion
weren't
on
from
it.
The same family that gave Prince Andrew his briefing before that Newsnight interview.
Exonerated him.
They have, but let's face it.
I've got a conspiracy theory. Wait, I've got a conspiracy theory about that, actually. And the conspiracy theory is that it was to bring down Pizza Express's stock price, and it worked.
Right. It's
been a constant conveyor belt of fucking weird shit. Pandemics, a war in Europe, or, you know, Russia, Ukraine, then the fucking war there. Now, it's just constant. It's all like Alex Jones forever was saying.
The vaccine, then.
That's worked, isn't it? Because they've put this in a conspiracy framework, you've just said that. That's exactly what they want you to do, mate. You're falling for it. That's exactly what it is.
I do think that the last 30 years have not caught up with the royal family. That for literally centuries, like 600-700 years, we've had monarchs outright lie to their subjects, right? Paintings with people looking different, sending out royal decrees that's bullshit, right? It's only because like the royal family just don't realize that the world has moved on, that they've got to learn that they've just got to stop lying.
Ollie, I know what you're saying, right? And the expression warts and all came from when a monarch would commission a painting and say, paint warts and all. I went,
but he didn't paint it himself. She's put a tweet out supposedly saying, oh, I photoshopped that. As if she's got a laptop out and the photographer sent her a picture and she's fucking doing it. That's just a lie, isn't it? And that's not a believable lie. But that, there's a reason. They're not fucking that fucking stupid, mate. That's a believable lie. That's so ridiculous.
This could be a PR in crisis. I do believe that their meetings will look like scenes from The Thick of It or W1A. Right, I genuinely don't believe there's smart people in charge. I believe it's reactive and reactionary.
There's not smart people in charge, but they're not going, oh, why don't you tell everyone you fucking photoshopped it? And she's signing, and it's things like she started signing things off with her initial when it's using his, not the double one. Then he put out a press thing saying he can't attend this thing. And instead of like, it must have been like a W and K, oh, it's just his. So it's like they're putting out things now instead of their couple's insignia. They're single insignia. Now that's a decision, isn't it? Now that's only going to fan the flames, isn't it? So that cannot be a mistake.
Sure. I mean,
I heard she had a BBL, Brazilian.
Bucket. As a general comm strategy, they're so used to having, you know, the fact that we're learning about what's going on from foreign press speaks volumes. That the royal family, the institution, has benefited from literally every single newspaper and TV channel and major media organization being on their side.
This is my point, Ollie.
They're just starting to learn. Go on.
Right. This is my point. That we live in a digital new era. Media's changed. It's very fast thinking. Like people do, fast changing, sorry. People do manipulate and edit photos and stuff like that. And it's like, but they're making out she did it herself. Like they wouldn't do, they would just hire the best people to do the Photoshop, the press release, to understand the Twitter. The best people would be running their Twitter account when that's the real fucking family. But whoever said, oh, put a tweet out saying that you did it, that's just fucking, it's not plausible. And I think that you're, whatever the opposite of a conspiracy theorist is, I think you're jumping through hoops and doing mental gymnastics to make out it's anything other than this. Oh, yeah, maybe they just got it wrong. Not that fucking wrong. Not that. It's no, you're doing not that. No one could get it that wrong, especially with like the money they've got at their disposal. Like they're not running their own fucking Twitter account, are they? But then they ain't getting what Simon Kane either. They get someone good at it.
Prince Harry's website is now linked from King Charles's website. Like he's now got a bit more favor with him.
Backlinked. Good for the SEO. Probably thinking about his SEO profile. Yeah, probably to get some more clicks if I get a backlink from His Royal Highness the King.
What about the New England? You got the New England shirt you've written on here, Darius.
Oh yeah, the New England shirt. I just got a trans flag. I mean, to be honest, I don't really care.
Well, is it a trans flag?
It's not a trans flag. Oh, is that what the problem is?
Yeah, on the back of the collar that they have the St. George's flag. They've changed it.
To go. He's Scottish anyway. He's got no right to comment on the England shirt.
But also, football. I mean.
Yeah, football.
Has it got a trans flag on it?
It's got.
They've changed the colour of the St. George's flag to prevent offence. The English shirt has now got a different colour St. George's cross on the back of the... What are you doing there?
I'm using my phone as a webcam. Oh. And my dad was calling me.
Yeah, so that's what they've done. That's what they've done, Leo.
You know, the one good thing about the Islamification of the West is going to be, like, if you look at Hamtramck in Michigan, where they got the first majority Muslim council in the whole of the US.
What's it called?
And this was Hamtramck.
Ham. That's taking a piss.
Like Hamtramck.
Yeah, taking a piss to ham.
Yeah, that's very original joke. You should write for Hannah Gadsby. But you can write for Justin and then let her nick it. But so they got the first majority Muslim council of the whole of the US. And all the woke progressives helped it happen and they're like, oh yeah, this is so progressive. Oh, Donald Trump's gonna hate this. You know what the first thing the majority Muslim council did in Hamtramck? Ban the pride flag. They banned the pride flag. And all the progressives are like, no, but we helped you. We helped you get. And they're like, yeah, you helped us. Thanks
for
that.
Before you go, Leo, if you think about it, Leo, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I was getting at, that called this years ago. There is a section of society that's very intolerant. And now it's these chickens will come home to roost, isn't it? It's the exact same thing.
It's going to be fun to watch.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Watch it burn. Oh, I want them all to burn. That's my thing.
Well, that will be everyone. That will be taken out of context.
I still live in London. I hope just wait till I move out to the countryside before it all burns.
Have you bought your new house yet, Leo?
No, not yet. We're going to go and look at one tomorrow, but it's annoying. They all cost like so much money; it's ridiculous.
Where are you going to move to?
Like £1 million, like the somewhere in the Chilterns, nice and leafy. That'd be nice.
Good rail links.
Yeah, some of them. Okay, bye.
Leo's there might be changes to speaking
better
for them.
Bye, Leo. There goes Mr. Leo Curse.
And watch this seamless transition.
What'd you say?
I said, you know, you're doing your tax returns or something. What are you doing? You look so, you look so focused on something the whole time. You've hardly said anything.
But I'm just watching, waiting for a point to speak, and there's never a bit to jump in at. So I'm just listening. I'm enjoying it.
Have you had a bag, Ollie?
Why would you
suggest that?
Well, you're a bit chatty today. You are. Yeah. I've noticed that you are chatting a lot. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's what the medium is. Now Darius is gurning. He's back on the Alvance.
I think I'm just giving the listeners what they want. They might have missed hearing me. I've not been on an episode for about 6 weeks.
So where are you in the world, mate?
I'm in. Excuse me for yawning.
Don't yawn.
I'm serious. What I am? What do you want me to do?
Well, not
don't
not
be on your hand. What are you a toddler?
Disgusting, Ollie.
Fuck me. Basic manners.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
I'm in Hong Kong, and I really, ma'am, Hong Kong has changed. We should talk about this. That you know, the handover happened in 1997. The idea was there'd be one country, two systems till 2047. That has not been respected. Even can you please stop moving? I'm feeling sick watching myself.
Now you know how we feel.
Even down to things like. I'm staying in Shenwan, which is central, right? Which is still, like central Hong Kong. There's a little kiosk which has some flags outside it. And it has the mainland Chinese flag and the Hong Kong flag. The mainland Chinese flag is just slightly bigger than the Hong Kong flag. It goes Chinese flag, Hong Kong flag, Chinese flag, Hong Kong flag. And the first time I visited Hong Kong, which was in 2014, which was just before the Umbrella Revolution, that would be unheard of, I'd say. And now, 10 years later, that's now a normal part of Hong Kong society.
So what's happened? The flag's bigger.
Yeah, so there's mainland Chinese flags adorning like little news kiosks.
Oh.
Which wouldn't
does
have been Hong Kong, there a decade
does
ago.
Hong Kong acknowledge the existence of Taiwan?
Well, that's a very good question.
Don't sound surprised.
Hong Kong, officially, Hong Kong's foreign policy is decided by the mainland. So, no, it wouldn't.
But it would have 10 years ago, wouldn't it?
Pre-97.
Well, sorry, yeah.
Yes, it would have. Pre-97.
Before the handover. That's probably a better indication than your little kiosk flag anecdote, isn't it?
No, I'm not sure it is, because the difference is, in 1997, Hong Kong formally became a special administrative region of China. So on a foreign policy level,
yes,
like Hong Kong is Chinese. However, the promise that was made was that there'd be one country, two systems. So another example is the judicial system, right? So this is now looking at domestic rather than foreign affairs.
But I think that the recognizing or not of Taiwan is a big indicator of where the country's mindset is at. And that is more, do you see what I'm saying? They're think like China now. That's not two systems.
If there were a pro Taiwanese independence demonstration in Hong Kong, I don't think it'd be met with a lot of grace.
It would be met with a water cannon.
Yeah, and I get the sense from people that work in the legal system here that you know, even up to 10 years ago, you know, formally Hong Kong still uses British law, or rather a subset of British law, you know, British law as made local. You know, all of the judges, I mean, it was actually remarkable when you think about it, as recently as 1997, cases would be pleaded by Chinese or Cantonese, you know, Hong Kong lawyers with Hong Kong defendants and a Hong Kong jury. Everything would be done in English for the benefit of a normally white English or Commonwealth judge, right? So everything would go through court interpreters. So that side of things, I think, probably was, you know, did probably felt quite colonial at the time. But I do get the sense from speaking to friends who work in the legal system here that, you know, while formally you can't look at mainland Chinese case law, informally they do. While formally you shouldn't be submitting documents in Chinese to the court, they do. You know, I things are definitely changing. And the idea that this was going to be up until 2047, which was the end of the 50-year transition period, you know, exactly as it was pre-handover, and then suddenly it would change to Chinese rule, that's obviously a nonsense. And even down to little things like the way that they do the safety inspections of the airport shuttle train. Like, I've just noticed everything looks a little bit more militarized. You know, like, there's just the way that the police and security operate in mainland China. Obviously, I've just got a recollection of mainland China from the last time I visited, which was 6-7 years ago. But you get the sense that everything is just slightly more formalized, slightly more militarized. You know, there's just... It just feels less relaxed, I suppose.
Yeah, it's very hard. I know what you mean. It's like you don't feel like you're in a country. You feel like you're in an institution or a sort of like a, what do you call it? Like a facility. It's like the whole country feels like, because it's so cohesive. And you can only get that cohesion when you rule with a iron rod, don't you, really?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I think Hong Kong is a wonderful place. And, you know, even though undoubtedly in the last 10 years it's changed, and even the hairdresser that I went to today was talking about how he's noticed a lot of people have left Hong Kong to Canada, to the UK, because they don't like how things are changing, or rather they can see things coming. It's an incredible place to visit.
You said hairdresser.
I went to hairdresser today. It looks it was a barber, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate, fucking. But I bet people ain't fleeing to Australia. I had this thing in the 80s where I thought it was all this no worries culture.
Justin's been silenced. Justin, you've paused. Justin's been silenced, but I think I know.
Well, it's remarkable that I can log into this without a VPN, whereas when I go to China in 2 weeks, I will have to use a VPN.
And you can't use Google. What's happened to Justin?
Can't use Google.
Justin was about to drop some truths and they've just cancelled.
Darius just sent me a message saying, get off your phone.
Yeah, you were on your phone earlier on.
I was on my phone.
Well, I'm not sure if Justin's going to come back, but I know what he was going to say because he said it to me before. He was going to say Australia and Canada always looked like they were like, you know, super laid back, and now they're the most draconian of all these states, liberal with Trudeau. Especially in Australia, they're trying to advance the cashless society, all of that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's not without its qualifications. So, you know, Australia did their referendum on whether to give Aboriginal voices, I'm not even sure Aboriginal is the right word, but, you know, the native population, whether to give them a special assembly, and vote won.
And then there were two.
Yeah,
it's like being back in the fag zone, baby. Welcome to the
Welcome back. Oh, I've got a gift for you, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to tell you, but
everyone wants to know what the gift is.
Well, we'll do a live reveal when I give it to you. You're going to absolutely love it. I've held on to this gift since I got it for you in Bangkok, like 2-3 months ago.
I have a feeling Justin's back. Let's see, because I've got to go in a minute. Justin, you're back. What happened there?
Just my internet light just went off and then come on again.
Silent.
I made your point for you about how Australia's pretty draconian now and they're not laid back.
Yeah, but it used to be the opposite. It's a complete 180, don't you think?
Yeah. But they've silenced Justin again. They don't want Justin to say this point. Listen, on that note, on truly the nadir of this podcast. But I'm sure we can sink even lower. Actually, you know what? Actually, before we do sink lower, a couple of announcements.
Those new headphones.
No, these are Bose Quiet Listening 35s, quite old. We might be doing a, I don't know, we might be doing a live podcast recording.
Hang on. All that's happened is Mooch has said one message in the WhatsApp group, and now there's an official announcement.
It's an official announcement. So if you're listening to this, imagine turning up to a podcast. Everyone will be there. Nico won't turn up because trains are late. Justin will turn up later on with bad internet.
I don't know what's going on.
I won't get invited to the last minute.
You won't be invited to the last minute. We'll do some gash bombs. Talk about the stories badly. Have an argument. Be great. So get excited for that. That might be
happening. I actually can't think of anything worse than buying a ticket to watch this live. It would be, it'd just be so, it'd be really frustrating. It'll be like, you know, when you watch an old person try and change the settings on a phone. It'd be like watching that for an hour.
Because it will just be recording. It will be live. You won't, you can switch the cameras with your own eyes. Your eyes are
that's
the camera,
true.
And your ears are the mic. You can listen and I can look. Whereas when I'm doing it, hey, it's at my will. Listen, also March 30th, I'm opening for Count Dankula in Birmingham. If you're around, come to that. That will be good. Anything to Ollie's got a show on.
Yeah, Darius. My show's Saturday in, I don't know what the venue is, but it's promoted by Backstage Comedy. So search for Backstage Comedy. It's going to be best bits of my last two shows and then all the bits from comedy for Toxic People that isn't bad. And then I'm back, loads of shows in the Southwest. I'm doing previews in Bristol, blah, blah, blah. Darius, what was the name you decided on for Hate and Live in the end?
The Haters Ball.
The Haters Ball.
First annual Haters Ball. I mean, to be honest, it's still not confirmed, though I have registered it, but not completed the registration, but paid for the early bird price to trick them.
Why don't you lie and call it like the 10th annual Haters Ball?
Yeah, well, I could actually call it the 10th annual Haters Ball.
I think that's better.
Yeah, all right, I'll call it the 10th annual Haters Ball then, because technically it is a 10th annual one.
Justin, yeah, well, it is.
Anything to promote before we go? I got to go.
Where are you going?
I've got to go in. So basically, the reason why I'm in a bit of a bad mood is Navara poured some tea on herself, which is basically my fault because I left the tea and she burnt herself pretty badly.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so she's going to be okay, but it's been a super stressful week. So I've had
I'm only not reacting because I already knew. I don't want to think I'm some fucking psycho. I already knew this. That's why I didn't.
Well, I guess because it was tea, it wasn't straight from the kettle. At least it wouldn't have scalded her, would it?
No, it did scald her. It was like just boiled. I set it aside. I thought I'd put it out of her reach, and she managed to pull it off her. And honestly, man, don't have kids because you hear that it's awful. It was like a scream I never heard before. And then she was wearing a top, managed to burn her all down her front and her neck. So she's.
Did you take it to A&E?
Yeah, she's going to be okay, but she has to have bandages changed and stuff. So it's been a stressful week.
Yeah, it is. I remember it. Yeah, the thing is, and I don't mean to be a neck, you will never forget it. You know that scream you just spoke about?
Yeah.
Mate, I told you, didn't I? My youngest son, he nearly died. He ran in front of up this sort of like a woodland play area. We don't know anything, they sort of rustic. They had this big log on ropes and there was like 20 adults swinging on it. And he was a little nutcase. He still is, my youngest. And he ran off and it was dead, like a battering ram with humans on it. Missed his head by an inch. And now didn't even hit him. And it was right when, I mean, he'd have either had a face like, I don't know, fucking what, or dead. And it was like, you never, ever get over it. You never forget
I saw a video on Twitter of a teacher teaching his, a physics teacher teaching his pupils about the conservation of energy rule. You know, this idea that if you swing a bowling ball, it will never actually return, right?
No, I saw that. She's sitting against the wall.
Yeah, but what happens is a kid, I think is the different one. A kid knocks it while in motion. So as it's returning to the teacher, a kid gives it a little bit of extra energy, meaning it would have, and if, another kid hadn't spotted this, that would have been a bowling ball straight to the back of the head. I mean, that's, if that's not like concussion.
Things like this, Darius, that'll also affect your tolerance for that shit on like Twitter and that. Like, since you have a couple of things with your kids and it turns you into a right, it turns you right sensitive. Like, you lose your sort of, you know, like I've become I became desensitized during the early days of the internet. Then you have children, you become resensitized. It's like that, they're troubled with that ex, what I don't like, and I can't watch all that gruesome shit.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, it did make me, obviously, I'm pro-Palestinian, you know, I want to bang on it, but even like, whatever, Israeli kids as well. But just thinking about, you know, when that something like happens, you think, well, she's going to be fine. There's these, like, this is on both sides, kids are like, mad shit's happening to them. It's like, these are real people. And you just start thinking about shit like that. But anyway, that's what's been happening.
Yeah, imagine if that was done by like a drone.
Exactly, nothing you could do. I do feel good. It was my fault. I left it out. I put it out of her reach, but obviously not enough. So it was to be honest, it was her fault. She shouldn't be.
Was it one of those little teas with in a glass with like leaves and bark in it? Iranian tea.
No, it was an Earl Grey or something. I don't know. Anyway, but anyway, she's gonna be okay. But man,
I'm sorry.
It's super stressful. So she's had to go to hospital and stuff. And yeah, it's
like, I had to go to hospital.
Oh yeah, Ollie, the vaccine almost got Ollie. But look, we're gonna have to save that till next week to talk about how you almost died.
Do you want to just do this as a Patreon, or is the Patreon dead?
Well, I have to. No, we're gonna do a Patreon as well. It's not dead. Maybe we'll cut this up, and this will be the Patreon.
Nice.
Actually,
everyone
just quickly say bye, and I'll cut this up, and then this can be the Patreon. We can all just say bye after Leo. Actually, doesn't matter.
Bye.
Bye. Quickly tell him about your vaccine death, Ollie.
Oh, I think the momentum's gone.
Maybe
come on, because you don't admit it.
I got a glad you had it.
Yeah, you're glad you had the vaccine, Ollie.
Well,
I wouldn't have to think if you asked me if I was glad I didn't have it. Bang, yes, best decision ever made. Are you glad you had it?
Well, I've personally not felt the side effects.
Oh, but some people.
Oh, you look like shit, bruv.
Listen, I gotta go. Say goodbye. Bye. A classic episode.
That was.